Now, I'm going to go back to what June was saying about adolescence. There was one other word that didn't come out. Am I spelling this correctly?
Yeah.
Are we comfortable with that, describing adolescence? Generally, totally responsible.
Impatient.
Yes. And here's my here's my summary today on conditioning. All of the people in this room have felt pain. All of you have felt happiness. All of you have felt joy. All of you have felt frustration, misery, disappointment, and hurt. Almost all of you have been hurt by somebody else. And all of you know what hard times means. Am I right? Many of us have been mentally, emotionally, and even physically abused. But we're here anyway. But in spite of all that, the one thing that life demands of us, if we are to be mature, is to take responsibility for who we are today. If your life is full of conditions that you don't like very much, you are responsible. You created those conditions. If you're not free in your business and you're overwhelmed and exhausted or even bored, you created those conditions. Not the person who hurt you or abused you or made you unhappy or made you miserable or bored or frustrated you or disappointed you. You created those conditions, and so did I. So I get a little bit sad when I listen to financial advisors, because this is the industry we're talking about, who then turn around and try and blame everybody externally for their problems. From the FSA to the PFS, everybody's to blame for my problems. No, you created the conditions of your business life. Not them, you. And therefore you're responsible. And the problem with never taking responsibility for that is what? What's the problem if we decide not to take responsibility for those conditions? What is the problem?
You can't change.
You can't change. If I don't take responsibility for it, then I can't be responsible for changing it. Because I'm blaming everybody else, and they've got to change it. So the power of taking responsibility for your conditions, starting today, means the minute you decide to be responsible for what you've created is the minute you can start changing it. And if you dare say to me in a coaching session about the FSA and RDR and TCF, I'll just take a double barrel shot down the phone and just blow you out the water. Because you know better than that now. You created the conditions. Now talk to me about the biggest influencers in the financial services industry that influence the way that we work for the last 20 years and the way the public thinks about us as independent financial advisors. Who are the biggest condition setters for the last 20 years and more in this industry? Who set the conditions? Because it ain't you.
Yeah, that's it.
No, they weren't there. They didn't exist 25 years ago or 20 years ago.
Media?
Nope. They're the ones that are getting angry and have got angry for 20 years about the conditions that have been set by somebody else. Who set the conditions?
Insurance companies.
The insurance companies. Colluding with whom? Hand in hand with whom?
Politicians.
Financial advisors. Do you honestly think that clients thought up the process? If I work with this professional consultant, he gets or she gets paid commission. Do you think they thought that up? You taught them that, having been condition set by the insurance companies who were desperately trying to move products and paid you masses of condition. When they go to a marketing consultant, they don't say, and who's going to pay your commission? Do you come to me and say, oh, David, who's going to pay your commission? No, you pay me a fee. So to then whinge about, but I can't get them to change it. Well, who set that condition? You did. In collusion with the condition setters who set your condition for you to work and raise your children and build your homes and send your children to private school. We're responsible. This is we created this problem with the condition setters. We colluded with them. So to then turn around and complain about the banks and the insurance companies lacks integrity. Yes, they set our conditions, but we colluded to let them do it. That's the truth. And as Richard Stock said down in Southern Team Yes on Tuesday, and it was obscene, said the commissions were obscene, weren't they? Absolutely obscene. 60% of first year's premium for flogging a pension. Absolutely obscene, and yet I colluded in it. And I still get IFAs, conditions set by insurance companies, to think things like there is an exit fee when you change money from this policy and shift the fund out into that policy. They charge an exit fee. I still get IFAs who think that. They've been conditioned for 20 years to think that's what happens. There's no such thing as an exit fee. It doesn't exist. That's a condition that they've lied to you about for 20 years, and the government knows about it and admitted to it. It's a total lie. In writing. It's a lie. There's no such thing as an exit fee. And those people that have sat with an independent actuary have found out there's no such thing. The exit fee was taken in the first 24 months. It's gone. It didn't ever exist. It's happened. There is no such thing as a fund value. There only exists a transfer value. And the fund value only ever gets paid out if somebody dies before retirement. It's just conditioned myth and lies. We buy it, we then set it on the client. And we communicate a bunch of conditions that's rubbish. It's just not even true. Conditions. You see how it works? If it's that powerful, it can take a bunch of 54,000 intelligent human beings to then condition that and communicate that lie to another, you know, 10 million intelligent human beings. How powerful is conditioning? Scary. And we got trapped in it, and we thought we were bright. I thought I was pretty bright. Until I found out, and my MD just burst into fits of laughter. You still believe that? Are you in my team, walking around telling my clients that? And he just took me out the office and walked me down to Walensky's and sat me with a lady who used to work for Scottec and said, I'm paying the fee, you spend an hour with this bloke until he gets it. And it frightened the pants off me, what she then told me. What I've been telling my clients for 8 years made me sick to the stomach. And I had to call about 100 clients back over a period of a year and tell them what I told them was a lie. And one of them physically grabbed hold of me and was about to beat me up. Conditioning. Scary, isn't it? I spent so much time on this one subject because the whole day depends upon you understanding it. Now turn to the next page and let's look at how to powerfully drive this in reverse and change the myelination. 30 seconds and then tell me what I'm saying here. Have a look at that page, then communicate back to me what you think's being said. Okay, what's been said, Andy? What's being said on this page?
This Andy Nevitt.
Sorry. Let's get some protocol here. Let's set a condition for the conversation. Right. Would you rather be called Andy or Andrew?
Andy's shorter, but I don't mind being Andrew if Andy wants to be Andy.
I pretend with mum, you can call me Andrew.
So if I see Andrew quiver every time I call him Andrew, it's Mum. So Andy, relax, Andrew constantly quivering. Got it. Okay, Andy.
I guess you're trying to say that if inevitability thinking is that we're thinking if there's a certain action, there will definitely be a certain outcome, but that won't necessarily be the case. We've got to create conditions that will lead to, hopefully, the outcome you want.
Yeah. You're just about there. But beyond hopefully.
What conditions will eventually create the outcome?
It's just a question of when. So your responsibility from now on in today, it's now 10:10, is to start creating conditions in your business and your life that will inevitably lead to the outcome you desire. To start creating conditions in your business and your life that inevitably leads to the outcome you desire. How do I do that? Okay, where it's not going to be a discussion anymore. Inevitably means inevitably. It will happen. Even against your will, it will happen. Because that's the outcome your heart tells you and your mind tells you is right for you in your life. Does that make sense? How do we do that? What? Everybody got that? Let me give you some examples, and then I want you to write down during the course of the day your own examples, and we'll gather those together at the end of the day. Can I give you some personal examples? There are two things I don't have today because I didn't set the condition correctly, but most of you know what they are apart from one guest. At the beginning of each year, in fact 2 months before each new year, what do I send to you that will help you understand what's going to come the next year? What do I send to you?
Your diary.
Your
diary.
The Advisor Gym calendar. Yeah? Everybody had a copy of that? Yeah? Arthur, yeah? You've had a copy of the calendar? What do I put in that calendar? Tell me how that's structured. How does it look?
When you work and when you don't work.
Yeah, when I work and when I don't work. Tell me about the names of some of the days. Because they have a pattern, don't they? What do I call Mondays? So you've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. What do I call Mondays in my calendar that all of you have got a copy of except for Jeremy?
Buffer day.
It's called my buffer day. All right? Nobody gets hold of me on a buffer day except for Wendy. It's where I do my thinking, my planning, clear my muck. Okay, just do stuff in the afternoon and strategic stuff in the morning. That's where the thinking gets done, if there's any thinking going on at all in my business, to set the conditions. What do Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays generally have? What are they generally called?
Focus
days. It's where I focus on making revenue or delivering the service I promised. Every 2 weeks, what happens on a focus day, on a Wednesday, every 2 weeks?
Coaching.
That's the laser coaching day. So every 2 weeks on a Wednesday, two weekly, a year ahead, Jeremy, they know when all the coaching days are. It's not a discussion. It's not, can I fit into your diary? No, you can't. The coaching days are set a year ahead. And then what else is set a year ahead in terms of dates? Quarterly Catalyst workshops. A year, booked in the hotel, by contract, a year ahead. Why do I do that? Why do I set coaching days and workshops a year ahead? Why do I do that? Think what we've been thinking this morning.
Setting conditions.
Yeah. When do you think I created this workshop and created these workbooks? When do you think I did this?
Shall I say?
Last night. It feels like that, doesn't it? It's about that kind of quality. I create the workshop and the workbooks after the advert's gone out. So, you will come to this workshop and you will get these outcomes. And I stare at it and go, oh, blimey. I've now got to create a workshop to deliver those outcomes. Now, in my head, I broadly know what I'm going to say. But that's in my head. And you've got a 50-page workbook there. How many hours between the advert, where I broadly know what I'm going to teach, and the finished workbook do you think goes into the workbook? How many hours from that advert to the workbook goes into each workshop? 100 minimum. I don't get impressed by people who moan about education in financial services. Oh blimey, look how many more exams I've got to take. I do 100 hours worth of research a quarter. I don't get impressed. That's the price of the profession. You want to play the game, then you pay the price.
When do you do that preparation? During the focus day?
During both the buffer and the focus day. So I can take a whole week out of my focus days, because that's what I've got to deliver to earn my money. I promised you a year ahead a workshop. I've set a condition in which I have to walk in here at 10 o'clock in the morning and deliver something that you feel is really, really worthwhile taking a day out for. It's not a discussion. It's not open to flexibility and freedom. I've set the condition and it's got to be done. Conditions. Nothing to do with goal setting. Nothing to do with action plans and to-do lists. I've set a condition and it has to be delivered. And I pay the price to deliver that. Conditions. See the difference? I've set a year ahead a condition. A year ahead, I haven't a clue what the subject is. Now, you and I know there's a 25-step program in the Advisor Gym laid out. Remember the 25 steps? And I've got to pick cohesively and progressively from those 25 steps. A year ahead, I broadly know which of those steps I'm going to teach, but only broadly and vaguely. But I've set a condition whereby I've got to deliver, inevitably, a brilliant outcome. That's what condition setting is all about. Every single service provider that provides educational programs that I know of does it that way. You don't think they write the course and then start to deliver it. Might have to if you're publishing a course manual, but lots and lots of educational organisations don't publish course manuals, they publish course synopses and outlines. Don't publish the whole manual, don't get that until you take the course. They set a condition in which the goods have to be delivered at high quality. Condition setting. Can you see how inevitable that is? Can you imagine me walking here at 10 o'clock this morning? Kind of thought about it, guys. Sort of got an interesting subject I want to talk to you about. Let's toss it around between us and see what we come out with. Workbook. Can I just grab a workbook? About 25 to 30 hours for the workbook. 70 to 100 hours for the research. And I always ask this question, do I know enough about this subject to be brilliant at it? Not good. Brilliant. No. Then what am I going to do about it? I'm going to go to the most brilliant people in the world and read and talk to them and find out what they've got to say. So who do you think I go to in financial services to find out what they've got to say?
IFP.
Now I go above them. They're learning from somebody else. I go to the States and to Australia, to the best brains in the industry, and I look at what they've said and written, and I learn from it, and I pick up the phone and I call some of them. The best in the world. And I bring that all in. To get to this workshop, I'll show you a selection of some of the books that I had to read. Vets Workshop. Those were some of the books I went through. Not glanced through, look at the tickets on the pages. I analysed every page. Okay, that one took a week to read. It nearly killed me. Balanced scorecard, and Peter knows, Peter recommended this, I'll strangle him. Okay. Most of you have read that, The E-Myth. Some of us, you're running a small business, you haven't read that, you just don't get it. Practice Made Perfect, Mark Tiburgian. Have you ever read any of his works? Mark Tiburgian. Just go on and spell it any way you like, you'll get there on the internet. Mark Tiburgian, okay? He's chairman, a senior partner of Moss LLP, which is the 11th largest accountancy practice in the USA, and is consistently one of the top, quotes, financial advisors to talk to in the USA, close quotes. There's a lot of financial advisors in the USA, as recommended by accountancy agent. Okay, and things like 5S for the office, eliminating waste in the office. Just some of the books I had to read for today's workshop. Now, I kind of knew this stuff. I could have got away with it, but I wanted to be the best in the country, and you pay a price for that. And I set a condition a year ahead whereby you're going to walk in this room, pay me a fee, and you're sitting there thinking, go on then, go on, tell me what I don't already know. Right? Am I right? Right. I better deliver. So, what I'm saying is, you need to do the same for your business. Set conditions so that inevitably, the perfect result is delivered for your outcomes. Do you see where I'm going with this? Does this make sense to you? Inevitable. Nigel.
I know that it's not the topic of today, but there's also a win for the recipient of knowing that structure as well. Because it's a bit like a misbehaved child, isn't it? It was testing the waters. That you're telling us there when we can get hold of you.
Yeah.
And that's all a child wants to know, is what are the rules?
What are the rules? Yeah, them's the rules. Now, I'm going to say one. I'm about 20 minutes behind, but you know I don't mind because this is so important. And I can skip some stuff because you get it. On my calendar that you've all got, what does Saturday and Sunday say? Every Saturday and Sunday, apart from holiday, what does it say?
Free.
Free. Not office. Free. On a Sunday, where will I never ever go unless I'm going to pick up something that I need for Sunday? Where will I never go? Ever. For any price, for any fee.
The office.
The office. Not for any fee, not for any commission, not for any business need, will I ever be near my work. That's a condition I set in my mind 38 years ago. It will not happen for any purpose unless I'm doing some church work. I need my PC because Wendy's hogging the other PC at home. And I set it up to do church work. I don't care what the value of the fee is. I don't care if you want it. David, I need you for a year, I want to pay you £500,000. I couldn't give it tuppence. I'm not going to go into my office on a Sunday. I've set a condition that Sunday is all about the development of my spirit and my family spirit and our emotions and our character and quality. The kind of human beings we are. And that's what we do. And my children grow up in that condition, and my objective is they teach their children how to be that kind of human being. Giving, serving, caring for others, developing their spirit, lifting each other, caring for each other, loving each other, worshipping a supernal being. Sunday evening, Wendy set a condition for me 3 years ago. She said, phone your mum. Kind of tired, I want to go to bed. Phone your mum. I phoned her on Wednesday. Phone your mum. Phone mum. Next week, 6 o'clock Sunday evening, phone your mum. I did that last week. Phone your mum. Okay, I've done that, done it. Mum's really happy, I'm really happy, done it, okay? Now phone Adrian, Matthew, Thomasina and Lauren. I only saw Lauren on Wednesday. Phone Lauren. Adrian, how are you, son? Matthew, how are you, son? Hi, sweetheart, Thomasina, how are you doing? Lauren, what are you doing? Don't talk to me anyway. Okay. Now go and see Bryony. She's upstairs. Go and see Bryony. How are you doing, sweetheart? All right, Dad, what do you want? Dad just wants to say he loves you. Okay, love you too. Bye. Bye. Brian, he doesn't want to talk to me. It's okay, next Sunday. Phone your mum, your dad, Adrian, Matthew, Thomasina, Lauren, go and speak to Brian. It's 2 hours. Phone your mum, your dad, Thomasina. And this went on for a whole year. I said, can I get off the trip now? Because it's 2 hours every big Sunday. And you know what? I then tried one Sunday not phoning anybody. Guess what happened? They all called me. You all right, Dad? Yeah, I'm fine. What's the matter? Why, you didn't phone me? I'm fine. I just thought you were sick. All right, son, no, really. Cool. Okay, Dad, no problem. Just thought you were... Conditions. So my Sunday's now set. You may think I'm not free, because from 10 to 1 I'm at church, worshipping, singing, doing spiritual things, serving, teaching, learning, being taught. 6 to 8 I'm on the phone. You may think, where's the freedom and flexibility in that? Here's where the freedom is. I've got a family that is so excited on a Sunday evening, Dad's going to call. If I've had a bad week, I can tell Dad. If I've had a wonderful week and I've got things to roar about, I can tell my dad. My dad cares. How do you think I feel about that? About that condition we've set in our family? If I don't call on time, my mum's on the phone. What's, you all right, son? Fine, mummy. You're wearing your best. Mummy, I'm, you know. I call Dad separately so that mum doesn't get on the phone. So he has his time. He wants his time with me. Loves it when I call him first when mum's out, and then I call mum when she's in. It's a plot that mum hasn't found out about yet in 3 years. And we laugh and we laugh. This was the dad with whom I had physical fights when I was a teenager, who tried to strangle me till my mum had to rip him off, stop him killing me. This is the dad who I love more than my own life. Every Sunday, conditions. Does that make sense? Conditions. Let's move on, and then we'll have a break for coffee. Turn now to page 10.
What did you do on Friday, by the way?
Sorry?
What did you do on Friday?
We're going to talk about, for the rest of the day, the three freedom multipliers. Three things that will completely free you and your time so that you can live the life you want. But you have to accept the conditions to do it. And the three freedom multipliers is to teach you to manage the conditions of a business by managing three things. One, to manage the conditions of time. Two, to manage the conditions of people. And three, to manage the conditions of systems. Those are the three conditions we're going to work on. And you notice we did this in the last workshop, you remember we talked about compounders, and I've called them multipliers this time. What I've found is if you get one right, or almost right, and then get on to the next one, it multiplies the effect of the first one you learn. So when you get your time conditions right, then start getting your people conditions right, it multiplies the impact of the first thing you did. Then when you get your systems right, those conditions, it multiplies the impact of getting the people in your life right and getting the time structure in your life right. And that's what we're going to talk about. Let's grab some coffee.